Right now, though, it's time to get a lot more serious. It's been over 700 days since the 7th of October, and the Israeli hostages still languish in Hamas tunnels. For that reason, this afternoon, I'm very pleased that Efrat Machikawa, the niece of Gadi Moses, a released hostage, has agreed to talk to us on Chai FM this afternoon. Shalom, Efrat. Thank you for being with us today.
Shalom, shalom, Simon. Thank you for talking to me. Thank you.
Efrat, so for those of us who don't know, share a little bit about your uncle, Gadi Moses, and his life before October the 7th.
My family is coming from the kibbutz, the community of Neil Oz, which is about 1 kilometer and 800 meters away from a Palestinian village in the area of Khan Yunis, just across the border. Kibbutz Neir Oz is a lovely, green, shady, beautiful oasis inside the Negev desert, with about 400 members that lived there. On October 7th, when the Hamas terrorists, some say between 500 to 800, double the number of the members of the kibbutz, attacked, they murdered or brutally kidnapped one of four of our community members. And we lost many. The atrocities are really awful. It's beyond any human imagination of what cruelty was going on during October 7th. Everybody is a friend or a relative, but our immediate family, we had six people kidnapped. Wow. One aunt was murdered on the way after being kidnapped. Four of the women, children, baby came back in November 23, and my uncle, now 81 years old, our brave Gadi Moses, came back after 482 days. We thought the 482 days and being in this horrific, terrible place, being held and be treated in an inhumane ways was hell. But thinking about it today, when we're 703 days, it's just unimaginable. And I have been spearheading the activity together with some other friends in different projects, and I still do. I just feel that we are an example of how hope and light overcomes the darkness. And I am still very, very active, been in Jerusalem on Saturday, been there on Wednesday, giving a speech in front of our President Herzog's house. We're very, very active. We're very disappointed of our government. We are very disappointed of the Western world, because it is absolutely unbelievable that 48 hostages are still in Gaza. And what's going on with the war and the revenge, and it seems that humanity is going to the wrong direction everywhere, and we are trying to do all we can to demonstrate, to write letters, to write in the newspapers, in the state of Israel, outside, in the international media, talking to you as well, to try and cry for help from people first, to help us deliver the message that this war must end and the hostages must be brought back. And the suffering on the other side as well has to end. We need to think of a different way handling this crisis, and of course eradicating terror, but at the same time also have the mental support, the fund support in trying to rebuild. Because as my uncle said upon his return, 95% of the houses are still deserted Inyo Oz. It's the place that was hurt the most. It's all burnt. It was all desecrated. It was all robbed. It looks awful. But the greenery of the gardens and the beauty of the fields is taking over, and we are all preparing for the return of a small group and then larger and larger groups as well for the rebuild of New Orleans. It will be built back bigger and better, and we are trying to do our best. Resilience is a key word here.
I want to talk about your uncle and his personal story for just a moment. Is there anything that he shared with you, having returned from captivity, that you could share with us?
Of course. I think that Gadi, you know, being a son of Holocaust survivors, had some kind of a very, Jewish DNA that is unfortunately going through crisis like that, but did have the strength and the mental strength to go through. But he was alone. He was moved for about 10 times over the 482 days. And for the first about half a year, he was all alone. And he said that loneliness, that being ignored by the human beings around him and being guarded the whole time with two full armed terrorists, but being alone the whole time was one of the worst things for him. And I think we should learn a very good lesson, a humane lesson, that loneliness and psychological weapons are very, very cruel. And he says it wasn't about the food I was not given. It wasn't about the bath he was hardly taken once in every few days. And sometimes the terrorist wanted to take the water away from his shower to wash themselves for the prayers and so on. But nothing was as terrible as the loneliness. And in order to overcome, the resilience he showed was incredible, because, you know, he knew that he needs to take care of himself and before he goes absolutely nuts. So he spoke to himself. He repeated knowledge and books that he remembered. He asked himself questions and hard questions and tried to solve them. He walked within the room maybe 4 by 4 meters, between 7 to 20 kilometers every single day. And he remembered the Pythagoras equation, and he would calculate the length that he walked. He couldn't understand exactly how to count the days, and the sense of time was so important for him. So in one room, when people came and gave him food like a dog on a plate, you know, throwing it to him, he used to look at the watch, the guard said, or ask him what's the time, and then he would take a piece of something sharp that he found, and he would make a mark on the wall. So he actually created a watch for himself. So he knew that if it's 1 o'clock, the shade will be on this side. That means calculating another time that where 7 o'clock is. And then he would calculate the days, and he knew exactly what happened on every single week for himself. He wasn't aware of news or radio, but he managed to somehow settle within the calculation of time and realize how much time is going by. He was very, very smart in the way he handled his very poor situation.
He sounds like he gives a new definition to the word resilient. But if we talk about resilience, yes. I actually wanted to ask you, because I believe his wife, his friends, neighbors, all from Kibbutz Neir Oz, were all brutally murdered. How does an 80-year-old man in his 80s, he's older than 80, how do you cope with the grief and the loss when you're trying to rebuild a life?
when Gadi was taken out of Gaza in the helicopter flying to Israel, he said, "I am going to go back to Niroz and I am going to rebuild."
Wow.
And I think their resilience is accepting the loss and understanding that revenge will not bring any good, as he says. And the power in rebuilding or regrowing or gaining your strength is actually giving him hope. And we're keeping hope by doing, you know. And I think that Gadi is a very logical man, and he knows the sorrow and the pain will always be with us, but we can't do anything about the dead that are not with us. It is only about the rebuild and the regrowth and the strengthening our sense of resilience that we can do something about. So he took the decision of leading the rebuilding of Niroz. And, you know, they started last week, they started to take away some of the houses and to rebuild the new neighborhood. They're collecting funds, they're working in the fields. The greenery is absolutely stunning, and the shade and the beautiful flowers that are blooming. And it's the power of life that takes over. It's a decision within yourself.
Ifrat, related to this,
what we're trying to do.
I believe that most of you who lived in the Otef were really rather liberal, if not quite left, members of kibbutzim and the like.
Yes.
You've been to hell and back. Has this affected the way the community feels about the possibility of peace with its neighbors? How would you characterize the response?
To be honest, it did. I think that in the last 2 years, we were really, really feeling we're all in a moral hell. It felt we were betrayed. You know, so many people of the kibbutz were part of the people who helped, either Palestinians or worked very closely with the Arab world and so on. And it's hard. It's hard to be betrayed in a way that people are coming and beheading and raping and burning people alive. But I have to say that after some time, the trauma is still here. But I think that most of the people understand that we went through hell. But in order to get out of hell, we need to hold to life. And there isn't anything good about revenge and an ongoing 703 days war. The destruction will not build anything that was taken. The people that were murdered will not be back. And it is better for us to think differently, maybe not to talk about peace as we used to talk, but to talk about some giving a horizon of hope for our neighbors, because when they have something that they can look for, and it's not about the destruction and killing of Jews, so then we would be living in a better and more secure life, lead a more secure life. So I think that it took time, and we were very angry and confused, and the trauma is going on. But I think that the majority understands that it is better to concentrate on the life we wish to have for us, for our parents, and mainly for our children and grandchildren to come. There isn't anything good in dealing with death all the time. Death is end. It takes us nowhere.
Final
question.
So we
really do have to be strong.
Final question for
it's
you,
not
Efrat.
yeah I just want to say it's not easy to overcome this, and the situation is very complicated, and some people behave a bit differently, but as a general idea, we know that it is life that we need to concentrate on.
We have 1 minute left, and then I need to go to news.
Yes.
But final question for you. How can our listeners in South Africa support families like yours in the broader effort to bring all the hostages home?
Well, I really do hope that all of you are doing your best during calls of demonstration. Write, use your media, your Facebook, or wherever you are engaged. Come to visit Israel. Come to see us. Listen to lectures. Find new friends. We feel you, but we would love to get to know you. Thank you so much for your support.
In Badma, it was an absolute pleasure. Thank you for talking to us on Chai FM this afternoon.